You're tuned to the Beacon, KSJE 90.9 FM. I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with
Ashley Londy
and Trevor Mavo.
And you are listening to A Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week, we have Bruce Lee in Fist of Fury, also known as The Chinese Connection. After that, we have Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And we're going to finish with Out in Theaters Now, Solo, A Star Wars Story. But let's get things started with Fist of Fury. It, of course, is one of the few movies starring the very iconic Bruce Lee. And he plays a young martial artist who returns home to find his master dead and goes on a revenge streak to punish those he feels are responsible.
Listen to me. Hiding won't help you. Come back now, and we'll discuss it.
No, I can't.
But how does it help, hiding out here? It's not going to solve anything. Come back. Or don't you trust me then?
No, it isn't that. I don't want you involved.
What are you going to do then?
I'm not hiding. I have made plans.
But still you won't tell me.
Fist of Fury, of course, stars Bruce Lee, but also there are Nora Miao, James Tien, Maria Yi, Robert Baker, Fu Qing Chen, Shan Qin, and Ping O Wei, with Chikara Hashimoto as the villain. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Fist of Fury?
I actually enjoyed watching Fist of Fury because I don't think I've ever seen a kung fu movie before I had seen this film. And I'm a little sad about that because there seems to be this whole genre of film I've just never gotten to really enjoy. The movie, what's not good about it is that the acting isn't great. There's a lot of sort of this cheesiness that comes through, and I really didn't like the dubbing very much. It seemed painful, but very much in keeping with the style of the film. I wish it would have been in Mandarin with subtitles, but I can't get everything, and it's certainly the way it is now. And I think maybe that adds something to it for fans, but for me, it would have been cool to have the subtitles. If you are a fan of Quentin Tarantino films, I would definitely recommend this to you because it does seem to me that he drew a lot of his inspiration from these sort of classic kung fu films, and this film in particular. It felt like a Tarantino movie, especially when it came to credit sequences and fight sequences and lots of other things. Many of the fight sequences were replicated exactly in Kill Bill and other Tarantino movies. So if you're a fan of his, I think you'll enjoy this as well if you've never seen it. As just a movie on its own two feet, it's not a very good movie, but it does have some sort of cheesy classic nostalgia that I enjoyed and I'll give a recommendation to on a limited basis.
Trevor?
Yeah, I picked this movie for this week, and I think that was because, like Ashley, I'd never really seen a kung fu movie. I saw this movie on Netflix, and I saw how good of a reviews it got online, and I convinced myself that this was the best Bruce Lee movie, or that this was the most famous Bruce Lee movie in America. And I think I found out afterwards that Enter the Dragon from 1 year later was a much more highly received film. But this one was enjoyable too. I was surprised after it was over to see that it was only an hour and 48 minutes long because I thought it kind of dragged out and I thought it felt a little long. But I do think this movie was enjoyable. I'll agree again with Ashley that it would have been better if it wasn't for the English dubbing. But I do think that in a sense that kind of became like a character in the film, particularly with the voiceover for the part of Interpreter Wu. I thought that he was very funny. I think in the end, though, there just wasn't enough for me to care about from a plot perspective for this movie. I think that from an acting perspective and a film work perspective, I think that the camera angles and the sound effects and there was a lot to like from a cinematography perspective of this movie, but I just found myself getting bored with the plot. I would have loved to have been able to come out and recommend this kung fu movie from the early 70s for everybody out there, but I'm not sure that I can do it.
I'll agree. Fist of Fury, aka The Chinese Connection, does have niche appeal. If you are a Tarantino fan or you like kung fu movies, this will be a film for you, despite its many, many weaknesses that involve the plot and acting and, well, kind of blatant nationalism and jingoism on behalf of the Chinese versus the Japanese. This film has a lot to unpack culturally, but that's not really what you're going to see it for. You want to watch this movie to watch Bruce Lee kick butt and not have to worry about Japanese-Chinese relations during the Shanghai occupation. And it's interesting in that regard, but it's a tough nut to crack. I'm also not a huge fan of the almost completely absent drug subplot. It like shows up in two lines and is supposed to be heavily implied. And I don't know, I think the plot was just so light that it was lost in the noise of, okay, what is Bruce Lee doing? He's mad and gonna kill somebody, and that's about it. Overall, I would say stay away from Fist of Fury for general audiences, but for kung fu fanatics and people interested in cinematography and filmmaking, yeah, this is worth checking out. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I didn't expect to like it at all, and I liked it a little bit. So that gives me a lot of hope for future kung fu movies. For me, I'm going to give it 2.5.
Trevor?
Yeah, I was a little hard on this movie because I had high expectations, and it certainly just did not blow my hair back in any way at all. But this movie's 45 years old or more now, and there's a lot that was done pretty well about it, I think. 2.5 stars.
I'm going to be a little more negative and say the story is enough to draw down another half star. I think Fist of Fury is great only for the fight scenes and cinematography alone, and I'm going to give it a kind of strong 2 out of 5. And say it's niche. And that'll bring us to our second DVD of the week, and it is Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, in which he plays a man who has reached the ripe old age of 40 without having ever loved a woman, and the quest he goes on in order to fulfill that rite of passage.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Well, Andy, the numbers just came in, and you are by far our best salesman, so cool. I am promoting you to floor manager.
Thank you. That's great.
I understand you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, kind of seeing somebody.
I'm very happy for you.
Thanks. She's great.
Are you still a virgin?
Oh, you know, I don't really talk about my personal life.
You're a virgin.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. My door's always open, so to speak.
Great. Great. Thank you.
I'm very discreet. But I'll haunt your dreams.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin, of course, stars Steve Carell, but also there are Catherine Keener, Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen, Romany Malco, Elizabeth Banks, Jane Lynch, and small roles for Kat Dennings, Jonah Hill, Leslie Mann, and Mindy Kaling. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
This was my choice for this week, and I really wanted to watch it again from a critical standpoint because when it first came out, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it had a lot of heart. I thought it was really good. But it's been a few years, and I kind of wanted to revisit. On revisiting it, I'm happy to say that I really enjoyed it this time around, too. I thought it was funny. I think that the chemistry between Steve Carell and all of his coworkers at work is cute and seems to me to be like sort of this guy friendship thing that he needs desperately, because this movie isn't just about him not ever having been in a relationship romantic. It's really about his isolation from the world and how he sort of comes out of his shell and begins making close friends and begins dating, and how these things happen for him at a different phase of life than they happen for a lot of us. And I think it's really kind of endearing and charming. I will say that some of the overt, gross, sexualized pieces of the movie didn't make me laugh like they used to. I think that maybe I've just grown up a little bit, or it's just not as funny as it used to be. But it was nice to see all of these characters again and sort of revisit this film. I will say that I don't love the ending. I think it would have been stronger if they would have just broken up and he went on with his life, because I think that's more realistic for a first relationship. But it's cute and it's sweet, and I would recommend it.
Trevor?
I'm glad Ashley enjoyed this movie upon this most recent viewing, because I too remember thinking that this movie was pretty strong and had more than meets the eye in terms of its vulgar nature and crude jokes. But I just didn't really enjoy it this time around. I like Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, but there just wasn't enough here for me to take the movie very seriously. I felt like the strong point of the movie was the dynamic that is him finally meeting a woman that he actually cares about, and the difficulties that somebody in his situation is going to have, even over and above the rest of us, in terms of meeting somebody that we like. I thought Catherine Keener played the other side of that role very well, and the dynamic with her and her daughter combined with Steve Carell coming into the picture. And I thought that was an interesting aspect of the movie, but I felt like there was just too much pulling me away from it as far as getting distracted with the crude nature of the movie. It wasn't terrible in terms of its vulgarity, but it just seemed a little childish, which makes this movie difficult to recommend. It's 13 years old now, and if you haven't seen it yet, I think it's missable.
Oddly enough, I will disagree with Trevor. I think this is kind of a must-watch movie, and I will say that with the caveat that I both love and hate The 40-Year-Old Virgin, because it is this weird mishmash of two different filmmakers that I both love and hate. I am not a huge Judd Apatow fan, but I am a huge Steve Carell fan, and they shared the writing credits on this while Apatow directed. And whenever I see Carell and his character and his interactions with Catherine Keener, I see a lot in terms of his personality coming out in the writing. And then everything else happens with Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen, and Romany Malco. I think that's heavily on the Apatow influence of the spectrum. And that's how I can kind of absorb the movie. I love the bits with Andy and his girlfriend Trish, and I hated the bits with David, Jay, and Carl. But I still think I will recommend the movie, because it does take a really interesting look at how Americans deal with sexuality in many not-so-pleasant ways, and in some good ways, too. It's kind of a frank look at the crass and the emotionally mature, and that's weird for me to think about it when it comes to Apatow movies, because usually his films are just lowest common denominator. I want to make particular mention of the Planned Parenthood sequence, where Steve Carell goes with Kat Dennings' character to get her birth control for the first time. I thought that was kind of endearing and adorable at the same time, and the small heart-to-heart talk that they have in the car afterwards is really good as well. Overall, I will recommend The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Just know what you're getting into. It's an Apatow film, so there will be cringe humor. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Ashley.
If the title wasn't a dead giveaway, let this be the dead giveaway. This is not a film for kids. I think this is probably 14 and up, at least. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone younger than that. I like it. It's got good rewatchability. And I really think that this is like the turning point for Steve Carell, where he really showed his acting chops. 3 stars.
Trevor?
I'll agree with Ashley that the subject matter of this movie and the dialogue is a step above PG-13. But if you're 14 years old now, that means you were born 1 year before this movie came out. And so as far as that generation, if they've missed this movie from before, I think that there's a lot to like here, and I can recommend it from that perspective, but not for general audiences. 2.5 stars.
With the age caveat that I think you have to at least be in puberty to appreciate most of this film, I would say this is a weak 3 out of 5, and say it's generally recommendable. And it's one of the few Judd Apatow films that I oddly enjoy. And that'll bring us to our cinema release of the week, and it is Solo, A Star Wars Story, which tells the origin of Han Solo, how he met Chewbacca and became the rogue we knew in A New Hope.
The seat taken?
Nobody's in the seat that I ain't taking from.
So this is Sabacc?
Sabacc.
Bach. Got it.
You played before?
A couple times, yeah.
Captain Lando Calrissian.
Han Solo.
Looks like you're having a good day.
I'm a lucky guy.
Can I ask you a question, Captain Calrissian?
Anything, Han?
It's Han, but that's okay. I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
Solo was written for the screen by Jonathan and Lawrence Kasdan and directed by Ron Howard and features Alden Ehrenreich, Junis Suetamo, Woody Harrelson, Amelia Clark, Donald Glover, Dandy Newton, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Paul Bettany, and Jon Favreau. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Solo, A Star Wars Story?
So for starters, this movie is way too long. It's 2.5 hours, and they could have cut 45 minutes out of this film, and it would have been significantly better. So we'll start there by me saying it's too long, which will probably lead you to the conclusion that I didn't like it. And I didn't. I thought that what this film failed to do was to capitalize on these opportunities to have really hilarious moments. What's nice about what Disney's doing with Lucasfilm, with these sort of in-between filler movies, is that they're not super tied to the series, so they can be looser, they can be funnier. And every joke that was told during this film, nobody laughed in the whole theater. And people were cheering when this film started. People were literally cheering and clapping, and nobody laughed at any of the jokes. I didn't like the lead who played Han Solo. I didn't think he was believable to me as that character. He didn't have that same swagger as Harrison Ford, and it just didn't come off to me as being the same person or the person who would become that person. Woody Harrelson I really enjoy, but I just didn't like him in this movie. Emilia Clarke I love. She's great on Game of Thrones. Didn't like her in this movie. I could go on and on and on, but basically this whole film was a bust. I understand it's losing money or it's not projected to make very much money, and I can see why, because it just is not very good. I will say the one thing I really liked about it is that there's a scene near the beginning that reminded me of sort of like World War II German troops being lined up to go and do these things, and it felt very Empire, and it felt very good. But the film overall is not worth your time. I'm not recommending it.
Trevor?
So I'm slightly on the fence about this movie, and I think that people who know me will be able to see that I mean that, and about as probably the biggest compliment that I'm going to give this movie is that I'm on the fence about it. I was really distracted by Woody Harrelson's character, and I really felt like this movie was missing a bad guy. Sure, there were antagonists, but the plot for how high the stakes were and for how much was going on, I really think that the plot suffered and the absence of a bad guy really carried the day for me with this movie. That being said, I found it terribly tolerable. I really didn't think it was that bad. When Ashley says it was too long, I'll agree with her there. But the problem with that is I think that the best hour of this movie was the half hour near the beginning and the half hour at the end. And so, you know, I went into it thinking it was okay, and I left thinking it was okay. And there was that big stretch in the middle that, if we're going to agree with Ashley that this movie was terribly long, I think that it just should have taken parts out of the middle. And that's certainly a fair criticism. The other thing I liked about this movie is how fresh all of the faces seemed, with the exception of Woody Harrelson. I thought that the male lead was good. I kept thinking he was the guy from Entourage, and the female lead was even better, but I thought she looked just like Rachel McAdams. And there were just a lot of things like that for me that I was thinking about a lot of things other than the plot. I think the plot in this movie was weak, but I thought the action was good and it kept my entertainment, and so I'll be more positive than Ashley, but won't recommend this movie.
Well, I think I'm the most positive person in the room when it comes to Solo, A Star Wars Story, and you would predict that that would be true just because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, but I also would argue that Star Wars nerds would probably really, really hate this film because of what it does to previous canon and how attached people became to the extended universe in the long interim between the original trilogy and what Lucasfilm did later in the 90s and millennium. I want to say that I enjoyed Solo from a perspective of going in with low expectations. I just wanted a kind of zany space opera serial that I think was what Lucas was trying to create back in the 70s, and I kind of got that here. It follows a lot of the writing hallmarks of a serial, the pacing of the chapters, the twists and turns, the shifting loyalties. I thought it got all of those hallmarks pretty darn well. And I actually kind of liked the humor. Even if no one was laughing out loud in the theater we were in, I was laughing in my head and really enjoyed all the references and subtle digs. I loved L3. I really loved Donald Glover. He pulled off Lando with quite a bit of aplomb. I think the only time I didn't like him was in the very, very last scene with Han. And I like Iden. I think he does a decent Han Solo. He's no Harrison Ford, obviously, but CGI is still not yet good enough that we can de-age Harrison to look like he's 20-something. This film sits somewhere between Episode 3 and Rogue One. It's firmly in the years of the Empire, but it's well before Luke and Leia are on the scene. So just know that there's still plenty of things going on in the universe, and the big bads are the Empire. And I will say it's decent and worth seeing in theaters, but not a strong film overall. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Ashley.
I don't think I'd consider myself a Star Wars fan, but I do enjoy Star Wars movies, and I just didn't like this one at all. I think Rogue One was much stronger. I liked the ability of Rogue One to commit to its story and to its ending, and I just think that this is a weak film. I'm not going to recommend it. 1.5 stars.
Trevor?
I find myself warming up to it even as we sit here. The problem for me is not the length. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes long, but it just felt like so much longer. I think at 2:15, it's within 60 seconds of both Star Wars and Return of the Jedi in terms of length, and there just wasn't as much here. When this movie comes to Netflix, I'll recommend that you check it out. I thought it was good, and I thought the whole Chewbacca thing was strong too. I'll give it 3 stars.
I too will give it 3 stars. I think it's worth seeing in theaters, or at least as a Saturday matinee. It's fun, it's not super strong, and the plot and character development is thin, but it's a nice way to spend some time and revisit some old friends with new adventures. And that'll bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far in the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our community, and to KSJE and San Juan College for hosting our program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael. I've been sitting here with
Ashley Lundy
and Trevor Mayville.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations coming up. Shailene Woodley in Adrift.